I hope our text this morning will be a fountain. And I hope that if you have never tasted of the fountain, that today would be the day that you drink from the wellspring of everlasting life. That's my earnest desire and prayer this morning. We're going to read the first 14 verses of Job chapter number 14. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. Scripture reads, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. "Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, he giveth up the ghost. And where is he?" And I want you to pay attention to all these questions that are in the Scripture. "As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth it up, so man lieth down and riseth not. To the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." And we believe that'd be all the Lord have us to read in your hearing this morning. We pray that God richly add his blessing to the reading of his word. Like I said, if we had a thought or a text that was this morning, you might find it strange, but we want to preach on the fountain. And that's primarily taken from verse 9. It says, "Yet through the scent of water it will bud." And as we look at this whole context of Scripture right here, of course, we'll not get into all the forth bringings here of Job that he experienced in his life. I do want to point out one thing, since we are in the book of Job, and it scares me and it's frightful. I'll be honest with you, as a preacher, the book of Job, I have the utmost confidence and faith and security in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, as I help families and as I stand beside families as they've lost loved ones, they've lost family members, I'll be as honest with you as I am with them. I don't ever say I know what you're going through, because I don't. I don't know what it is to lose a mother or a father. I don't know what it is to lose a spouse. I don't know what it is to lose a brother or a sister. I just haven't experienced those things. I haven't lost a child, and you know, we need to be honest one with another, and I'll say this to you, as far as my spouse and my children, I don't want to experience those things. Amen. I don't, but I will say this, part of living is dying, and I've said this many times at funerals. The only way that I can get to where I'm going is I have to die. Amen? You can't, listen, I'll never forget, me and Butch talked about this yesterday morning at Brotherhood, briefly for a minute, but I'll never forget, and this was a long time ago when I very first started preaching. Me and Bud Sutton helped Gary English in revival at White Creek above Cleveland, and y'all probably remember this, and y'all probably know more about this than I do, but this when Harold Thompson died over at Harmony. He died in the pulpit preaching, and word came to Gary. Me and Gary were together that night, and Bud had a little cabin up in the mountains, and After service, we'd heard about it. Me and Gary got in the car. We was going to tell Bud, and we got to Bud's house, and Bud said something to me that night that has changed my perspective, my way of thinking, and the way I view things. Bud said this, and it's meant more to me down through the years as a help, and I want to share it with you, and I've shared it with just about everybody that I can. But he said, if we believe what we preach, we shouldn't be sad. If we believe what we preach, we shouldn't be sad. Hebrews 9:27, the Bible said, for it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. In verse 28, the Bible says, but unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And so, friends, this morning I want to speak to you about the fountain, but also in this I want you to understand that part of living is dying. The only way that we can get to heaven, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:50, he said, now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Listen, this body that we live in cannot inherit the portals of glory. And I'm going to preach on this here in just a minute. But listen, the only way that we can get to heaven is to shed this mortal body and this natural flesh. And yes, we desire and we long to live as long as we can. I'll be honest with you. I want to grow old with my wife, and I want to see my children married. I want to experience grandchildren, and there's a lot of things in life that I would like to see and that I would like to do. But far and beyond all those things, if this life for me were to come to a close today, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Amen. There's a lot of things I'd like to see, a lot of things I'd like to experience, but glory to God, this is not my home. Amen. Hey, the book of Hebrews said, Abraham said that we are nothing more than strangers and pilgrims passing through a strange land. He said, for behold, I look for a city which have foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We're going to a city. Amen. So friends, listen today. We often need to change our perspective from a carnal view to a heavenly view. Now, listen, in verse number 1, the Bible says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now, the Bible says, if you go over and you read in the book of Peter, man born of God is full of glory and joy unspeakable. Amen. So listen, there's all the scripture speaks to us on the carnal side and the spiritual side. Amen. But listen, I'm glad today that my hope is not in this flesh. Amen. And I'm going to share this morning. I didn't know whether I would or not. Mandy told me about this the other day, and I don't know if you know or not. But it's probably a lot of the reason the Lord's led us this way this morning. It's been on my mind. I had a first cousin that was killed Friday morning in a car wreck. He was 18 years old. And when Mandy picked Hayden up from school, I want to share this with you because I'm just as human as anybody else. Amen. I often struggle with being a pastor and running revivals and a lot of different things. I deal with personally a lot of times, do I expose my children to too much? Amen. Listen, there's a lot of people say, well, I can't make it to 1 week of revival. Listen, when Hayden was born, I had 7 weeks of revival day and night. Amen. That's the first thing he came into this world, was 7 weeks of day and night revival. And I've often struggled because I want him to enjoy playing ball, and I want to be a coach, and I want to do a lot of things. Amen. I want to be just like you want to be. Say amen. Amen. And I've often struggled with that, but it's always been a constant battle. But there was one thing that rung home to me when Mandy, I'm going to tell you, putting the Lord Jesus Christ first in your home and in your life, let me tell you, it is worth it. It is worth it. It is worth it. The very first thing Mandy picked Hayden up from school Friday evening, she told him, she said that Neil was killed in a car wreck. The very first thing Hayden asked his mama was, he saved. Glory
to God, it is worth it all to raise your children and your family under the drippings of the gospel, because this life, the Word of God says, is as but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Eternity is worth it all. Amen. My question to you friends this morning, listen, where have we centered our focus? Amen. And you say, well, preacher, listen, I didn't come to get fussed on this morning, and I'm not fussing on you. Amen. Listen, we want to be parents, and we want to experience the good things of life, and we don't want to rob our children. But I'm telling you, listen, raising them in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ is not robbing your children. Amen. It's preparing them for eternity. Now listen, man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Listen, and dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Now I want to draw attention to verse number 5. Because this is something that we hear and that a lot of Christians, a lot of families, they deal with constantly and they struggle with constantly. Friends, let me tell you something. Verse number 5, I want you, listen, if you didn't have closure in the passion of a loved one today, I want you to draw closure from verse number 5. It says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Amen. Listen, boy, if we had been closer to a hospital, if I had done this, or if I had done that, or if we had done this, or if we'd went to this doctor or this hospital, let me tell you something. It's all in the hands of God. His days, his number, listen, they are appointed unto God. He keeps them. We cannot change them. Amen. Does that not bring glory to your soul? Friends, listen, you cannot outrun God. Amen? Listen to me. There is a day that is appointed for me. And when that day comes, the only thing, listen, I'm glad that God gives us living grace. And I'm glad that one of these days we will also experience the dying grace of God. Amen. I believe that the holy angels of heaven, amen. Listen, I can only imagine in my mind's eye, listen, I think about it as Stephen, as he, and I know I'm drawing away from the passage of Scripture, but as Stephen was stoned, listen, the Bible said that he fell into a great sleep. Amen. Now listen, I think about as we encroach upon the hour of death. And listen, friends, as the death angel and the angels of heaven, listen, the chariots of the north, as they begin to strike. And listen, as they head south down to the domain of the soul. Well, listen, I tell you, I'm glad of the experiences in my life when I've been in a hospital room with a dying saint. All of a sudden you feel the hair stand up, listen, on your neck, not on your head, amen. But listen, you feel the presence of the Holy Ghost because the holy angels of God have literally descended from heaven and stand in the presence of a saint of God ready to carry them into the bosom of Christ. I'm glad for dying grace. Amen. I'm glad for those hours when you're holding them by the hand. Their bodies riddled with pain, sickness, disease, or old age. And through the midst of it all, their eyes open and they say, I'm ready to go home. I'm glad that my hope is not in this life, that my future and my present in this world is not set in this life, but I, as Abraham, am looking for a city. Listen, I'm going home one of these days. Doug Collins, and y'all know who he is. He said a long time ago, he preached one time. I got to hear him preach on the junk pile this side of heaven. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a junk pile. The hearing aids, the glasses, the walkers, the canes. All the things that hinder us physically. I'm glad when we enter into that new city and that place has been prepared of God for the redeemed of God. There is no more sickness. There is no more disease. There are no more infirmities and all these things that riddle us and handicap us this side of eternity. Glory, we're going to a place where there has no sin ever been known. We're going home. Amen. We're going home. I hope this morning you get saved if you're lost. You know, I've heard the preachers talk all my life about car wrecks and all these different things. I'll be the first one to tell you. I don't want to scare you into getting saved. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something on the flip side of this coin. Reality does bring fear through conviction if you do not have a promise of a hope in heaven. Amen. Listen, if you find fear in your heart and in your mind, I don't care if you say that you have been saved. I don't care what office you hold. But when you pillow your head at night in the wee hours of the morning and you find fear in your heart, listen to me, you find fear in your heart because you don't know the reality of being born again, because you're living a false hope, because you're living a lie. Oh, friends, listen to me today. I set out when I started preaching. I didn't want to be the most popular one. I just want folks to get saved. Amen. Listen, it does not matter nor concern me what title nor office nor heritage nor lineage you descend from. If you go to where I'm going, you must go through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will not go. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. We're going one of these days, everybody in here, amen, everybody in here, I'm going to get on this in just a minute, everybody in here is coming to a day and point in time in his life or her life. You'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The death judgment is coming to us all. Now there's a lot of people say, well, whoa, preacher, what are you talking about? Not all of us are going to die. He said that when the catching of the saints takes place, we're not going to die. Let me tell you something. You're going to die. Amen. You will die because this flesh cannot enter into heaven. Amen. Listen. Your death may be instantaneous, but you will still die. You cannot go to heaven in this mortal body. You will die. And the Bible says, every single individual, listen to me, you will all stand before the death judgment, and you will give an answer and an account. Amen. You will be judged. You are not excluded. Judgment is coming to us all. A-double-L. Listen now. It says, turn from him that he may rest till he may accomplish as an hireling his day. Listen to verse number 7. I'm going to get into the message now for 20 minutes later. For there is hope of a tree. Listen to this. Boy, I tell you, this is a beautiful, beautiful picture. For there is a hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. And that the tender branch thereof will not cease. though the root thereof wax old in the earth and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant, but man dieth and wasteth away. Yet wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Now listen, I want to preach on this for just a few minutes. Listen, for there is hope of a tree if it be cut down. Amen. Now listen to me. I want to preach on this on two different aspects right here. But listen, as we look right here, the Bible tells us in Titus 3 and 5, it says, not by our works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, listen, we have been rejuvenated, revived unto life by his grace, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen. So let me tell you something, friends. If you get saved by the grace of God, you must first die. Amen. We've got a lot of gardeners in here. And listen, when you prepare the ground, and listen, when you till the soil, and listen, when it comes planting time, listen, that's what we do Sunday after Sunday, and revival after revival. We are preparing the ground, not only preparing the ground, but we're planting seed. Amen. Listen, now once the seed is planted, before that seed can ever come to life, the seed must first germinate. You know what the word germinate means? It has to die to come to life. Amen. Now listen to me. When the seed dies, listen, it doesn't. When the seed dies and life begins, the seed grows down, and the only thing we see sticking out of the ground is the fruit of the life that is in the ground. Amen. Now listen to me, friends, listen. As we look upon this, the Bible says, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. Amen. Listen to me, friends, this morning. I'm glad. Listen, if you plant a seed, if you till the ground, prepare a garden, and you do all the right and proper preparations that are laid forth and are necessary, but if you never water, listen, if you never put water on the seed, it never, anything for the death, the germination process, it's never enacted unless it's encountered with water. So listen to me. What I'm telling you, friends, this morning is, listen, though a person die, does not mean that that is the end of him eternally. Because we must all die to be saved. The Bible said in Romans chapter 7, he said, I once was alive without the law, then the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Romans 5 and 18, the Bible said, for by the disobedience of one, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. He said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. He said, but where as the offense abounded and sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. So friends, listen to me today. What I'm telling you is, even though there is death, I'm glad that there can be newness of life. Amen. And the only thing, the instigator of this is the fountain. Amen. Listen, the only way that a seed can be brought to germination, a seed can die to then come to life, is if it's watered. Friends, listen to me today. I'm glad. Listen, the Bible says in Revelation 22, in verse number 1, he said, behold, I show unto you a pure river of water of life. Amen. Flowing out from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Amen. In Ezekiel 47, the Bible said, and he brought me again into the door of the house. And he said, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold out of the house, eastward. He said, for the house stood, the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and waters issued out from under the right side of the altar and issued down toward the south. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that they were in one place, in one accord, in one mind, praying. Listen, in the Bible said that the Holy Ghost fell on them as cloven tongues, as fire out of heaven. You see where I'm going with this? If the seed be watered, it's not from me. Amen. Say amen. Thank you. Wake up. If the seed be watered, it be from the throne. Amen. So many preachers today, we have the opinion that people can't get saved, or the church won't survive, or the church won't thrive without me, without you. Friends, let me tell you something. God can do it by himself, and he does not need me, nor does he need you. Amen. We bind the hands of God and say, well, God, you can't do it lest I do it. Let me tell you something. He'll just move you out of the way and do it himself. Continue. The Bible says, he that humbles himself shall be exalted, but he that exalts himself shall be abased. Friends, listen, we've got to recognize our place within the house of God. Amen. Listen, preachers need to get out of the saving business and get back into the preaching business. Amen. Get out of God's business and get into the business in which he has called you to surrender to. Amen. There's too many people trying to save folks today. God didn't call me to save folks. God called me to preach his gospel to people that they might hear, that he might do the saving. Amen. Oh, friends, listen to me. We need to recognize who God is, and we need to respect him and the authority and the offices that are laid in place. Now listen, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Now we know, the word of God bears out. Listen, we cannot live. The only way that we can live is we must first die. When we die to the love and practice of sin, when we reach that, listen, we often talk in preacher talk, amen, and we confuse people. Listen, I want the church to understand something. In this day and time, in this culture, in this society that we are living in, we are living into a generation and a society of people that are unchurched. Amen. They don't know what conviction is. They don't know what condemnation is. They don't even know what the gospel is. Friends, listen, when you reach this state that we have reached, there's only one reason that we've got to this place, is because the church has failed, for one. And two, we're living in an ungodly world. Amen. We keep looking at what's going on here and what's going on there and what's going on ever. Listen, this is the downfall of the church. I want you to hear me when I say this. We look at how bad things are everywhere else and everywhere around us, but we never stop to look at how bad things are here. You say, preacher, they're not bad. I agree. Are they the best they could be? Why are we as a church satisfied when we come into a place of worship to preach the gospel on Sunday morning, and we do this continually, Sunday morning after Sunday morning after Sunday morning after Sunday morning? And listen, there are more people lost today in the history of time than there ever has been, and we see one saved about once every 6 months, and we are satisfied with one every 6 months. Amen. Now let me say this: if I preached my entire ministry and seen one saved, it would be worth every drop of sweat, blood, prayer, and tears. Amen. But I'm telling you, friends, today there is a problem in the church. We have reached a place of complacency because we are not actively seeking the lost and the dying world. Amen. Jesus said, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. He wasn't talking about Silver City Baptist Church. He was talking about the house of God. Amen. Do we have enough compassion within our hearts to compel? Listen, you know what that word compel means? That means to be an obedient witness. Amen. Do we reflect the Lord Jesus Christ enough in our daily lives to compel the lost world to come in and hear the gospel? Amen. Do we compel them enough? Do I compel them enough to be passionate about the Word of God? To be passionate and striving after the worth of God and all the things that are contained? Do we reflect the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ? Boy, I tell you what, listen. I know things are bad, and I know the economy's bad. Amen. I've got my own business. It hit me just like everybody else. But you know, there comes a place when you've got to resign. God, give it to me. Since the day I opened the doors, He's provided everything I've ever needed. Not what I wanted, but everything I ever needed. So why stop believing in Him now? Amen. We may not have everything we want anymore, but praise God, when I woke up this morning, I had everything I need. Amen. I didn't need for a thing this morning, and thank God for His promises. Listen, David said, he said, I once was young, now I am old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Amen. The needful things of the Christian life will always be provided if we just hold fast to what the Word of God says. Now I'm going to move past this as briefly as we possibly can. I know I've kept you a long time. For there's hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, that the tender branch thereof will not cease, though the root thereof wax old in the earth and the stock thereof remain in the ground. Listen. Yet through the sin of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant, but man dieth and wasteth away. Friends, listen to me this morning. I'm glad that when I died to the love and practice of sin as an 8-year-old child, listen, that my death was not eternal, that my death was not fixed, but I had an option, I had a way out, and I'm glad that I had a granddaddy and a grandmother and a mother who loved me enough, had enough concern and compassion for me to bring me to the house of God. And I'm especially thankful for my granddaddy, who I sat beside every Sunday on the front pew of the church. I'm thankful. Listen, I believe the sun set and rises in that man even to this day. But he taught me from the time I was able to listen, there's coming a day when the Lord will speak, and I don't have the answer, but I can take you to the man who does. Amen. The best way to love your children sometimes is from afar. Amen. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? And I know it's hard. When kids get lost, mama's first instinct is to hug them up and hold them close. Best thing you can ever do for them is push them to the side while they cry, you cry, and say, I can't do nothing for you, but I can take you to the man who can. Amen. That's the best way to love your children. Listen, we need to stop trying to make our children moral characters in this world. We need to start instilling in our children that we are sinners, that we are unrighteous, and that we are abominable for the grace of God. Listen, if it's not for the grace of God, then we will lift our eyes in hell. Amen. I read an article the other day that said we're raising moral pagans in the church. We teach them morality.
We teach them not to lie, not to steal, not to cheat, not to kill. We teach them all these things, not to commit adultery, not to do this, not to do this, don't do this. This will make you feel bad. This will make you feel bad. But do we take enough concern and time to tell them that it does not matter if you don't steal, you don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't murder. Listen, you can live the most righteous and moral life you want to, but you can still die and lift your eyes in hell. The only concernable matter is that you get saved by the grace of God. Amen. You got to get saved before you can live a good Christian moral life. Amen. You can ask anybody in my family, before I got saved, I was the meanest thing in Big Willer. That's just the way I was. I was mean. I'm glad that salvation makes a change. It makes a difference. Amen. And if there's not a change, if there's not a difference, listen, the prayer that I could pray with you is not going to change your life. The prayer that you pray, listen, the prayer that you pray out of conviction through the wounds of the Holy Spirit, we confess your sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to revive you, make you a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you know that you pass from death unto life. Not by my words, but by yours. You need to have a personal experience with Jesus Christ. Now I want to get on this for just a minute and I'll close. When this body is laid to rest, and I've said this probably several times since I've been at Silver City, but I've never explained myself, and I always forget about these things. You know, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he said, "But I not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And now we find this great contradiction. And I apologize for not being more clear on this in the past. But there's a lot of people say, well, how can you be absent from the body and be present with the Lord? And then when the Lord returns, what's coming out of the ground? I get asked this question a lot. Amen. But listen, the Bible said in the book of Jude, "Behold, he cometh with clouds." Amen. So listen, I believe this, and the Bible bears this out. Amen. Absent from the body is to be where Jesus is. Amen. So when you die, you go to be in the presence of Christ. At that day when the Lord shall return, what's coming out of the ground? The glorified body will be reunited with the soul in the air. And the Bible says, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another. Listen to me. When you die, you're not going to the ground. You've heard me say this here. I'm scared of the dark, and I mean it. I'm not going to the grave. I'm going where Jesus is. If you're saved, you're going where Jesus is. And when that great day comes and the Lord Jesus Christ shall return, the Bible said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel." Amen. Listen, when the Lord shall return in all his great splendor, power, and glory, the Bible said in John 5:28, "Marvel not this, for the hour and time is coming for which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those that have done good unto the resurrection of life, those that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Amen. Now, I'm telling you, friends, listen, there's coming a day when the Lord is coming. Amen. Listen, when the fountain shall be poured out. Amen. And the dead tree shall rise to life again. Are you ready? Can you leave this place this morning and say, "Preacher, I know beyond any shadow of any..." You know, I've heard people say, and I love to hear the old saints of God especially, listen, I used to listen to them old women. They'll stand up and testify. I heard a woman one time, she said, "I, preacher, I know that I know that I know." And by the time she got to the fourth "I know," she started shouting. Amen. Let me tell you something, friends. I'm glad when a person has the conviction enough to know that no matter what comes in this life, you know that you are saved by the grace of God. There's so much doubt, so much confusion, and so much. Listen, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. If you leave the house of God this morning confused and doubtful, it's your own fault. The Bible says in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans that we can know that we are His. How many people are willing to know this morning? How many people under the sound of my voice this morning are lost, undone, and don't know Jesus and the free pardon of sin? How many people have enough concern for their soul to come to the altar, bow on your knees before a holy and righteous God, confess all and receive all and be saved by the grace of God? Who will make a commitment this morning? As we stand to our feet and as they come with a song, I don't know what's on your heart. I don't know where you stand with the Lord here today. Will you do what's necessary here this morning to leave forgiven? I've said this, I've probably said this more, I know I've said it once, but the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you have a need this morning, if you have a burden, if you have a desire, if you need to be saved, let me tell you something. You do not have to leave the way you came in. There is help if you have a need. But you've got to humble yourself to the point where you'll receive what He has to offer. While we're singing, what's your number?